Hey, Zabe here from MyBookie, the official sports book of the Zabecast. Real payouts, real customer service, absolutely rock solid place to get your sweet action on when it comes to sports. What a glorious time we're in right now. NFL is going, college football's going, about to add in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Baseball playoffs are here every single night. There is no shortage of games to watch or bet on, and you need to get on with MyBookie. Whatever it is you like to bet, lay low and then wham, hit them with a big right hook of a bet, or maybe just dabble or have a little bit here, a little bit there. Do it from your phone. It's so convenient. Play some parlays, underdog parlays. Make meaningless games meaningful for you by putting a little something-something on it. And go to mybookie.com to do it. When you sign up, use the promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start in your winning season. Read the rules and regulations so you understand how the bonus payout works, and you're on your way. Promo code ZABE to claim that bonus when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, the Masters coming up, presidential prop bets. Oh, it is sweet action all over the place. MyBookie.com, the official and reputable and rock-solid sports book of this, the Zabecast. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, Fitbod. Fitbod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, Fitbod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And Fitbod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add Fitbod to your workout essentials. Join Fitbod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today on the Zabecast, when most longtime announcers finally decide to retire, you say thank God. Friend of Zabe and former sportscaster turned heart valve salesman Scotty Shirey on the Astros' run of House Money coming to an end. All that plus an unlikely comeback of a video game console we grew up on. Your high test and not street legal 30-minute plus dose of pure me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Monday, October 20th, 2020. Thank you for joining me. Well, this podcast recorded before the conclusion of both the early game and the late game on Monday night. But it was a rare treat to get an early evening or late afternoon game at 5 o'clock Eastern time with the Bills and the Chiefs. I don't know what you want to call it. Is it evening yet? Is it late afternoon? Is it nautical twilight or some other vague or very randomly specific term? I don't know. All I know is I like it. It's at an odd time. We've never before had a football game in the 5 p.m. window on a Monday as part of a doubleheader. And it's a good game. It looks like 13-10 in the mist and the rain. Chiefs leading right now, if you wanted a timestamp of when I actually put this thing to bed. Okay. The thing about these oddball time slots, whether it's a 5 o'clock rare COVID rescheduled game in the NFL on a Monday night, or if it's primetime golf in a major U.S. Open from the West Coast, or morning Olympic hockey or Olympic basketball at 9, 10 a.m. from far across the globe, or World Cup soccer at a similar early time, It's like off-hours sex for sports fans, and it's glorious. It's the morning quickie. It's the afternoon delight. It's the lunchtime special. Whenever it comes at an odd time and it's a game that matters, it's an important game, you love it, right? Doc Emrick retired on Monday. Out of the blue, no warning, 74 years old, still very much at the top of his game. Mike, a.k.a. Doc Emrick, has been doing hockey for so long, it's a joke. But he has done it in a way that is so good, it'll never be matched again. Not just the fact that he uses over 100 different words or adverbs to describe how play is unfolding in front of him. Pushed, shoved, nuzzled, whacked, blistered, flipped, launched. All these different ways to call a game. Not only that, but what made Doc Emrick so great was that the joy of sports and the wonder of sitting there watching athletes and a great game at the highest level never got old for him. It poured through in his voice and in his calls. And even though he should have had a bias and an affinity for Pittsburgh, he betrayed none of that. No allegiances, no angles, no slants, never. And he was just amazing to watch and listen to. What I loved the most was when he would basically narrate the handshake line, one of the great somber traditions in all of sports following the final game of the Stanley Cup final, right before they are about to hand out Lord Stanley and raise it over their heads. The handshake line would be narrated by Emrick in a way that was sublime. He not only would work in these anecdotes about, and here's so-and-so and so-and-so shaking hands, and they played together on the, you know, on the Swedish national team, and look at the respect from this goaltender who once served as the apprentice to so-and-so, and then he would weave in larger picture narratives about what it means to be a farm boy growing up in Saskatchewan and having your name chiseled onto the trophy. It was almost a religious experience, like he was an ordained minister in that holy of moments of the handshake line. And that makes sense because guess what? He is a ordained minister. He is just so good. No one can replace him. Nobody can outdo what he has done. And his life story is amazing. Born in Indiana, but still a devoted Pirates fan and a guy who listened to Bob Prince over KDKA radio, writes Phil Mushnick. Emrick is a 19-year cancer survivor. He earned his PhD and nickname in broadcasting while at Bowling Green. He and his wife, Joyce, plus dogs and horses have lived for years in Michigan. Emrick is in, at last count, 7 halls of fame. Says Mushnick in his column today, the send-off column, perhaps the greatest tributes to Emrick have been paid by non-hockey fans, often women, who while hearing Emrick in passing ask, "Who is this guy? He's wonderful." Emrick said, "I hope I can handle retirement okay. He's 74, and like he said, 19-year cancer survivor. I've never done it before, but I've just been extremely lucky for 50 years. Now into my golden years, this just seemed to be the time that was right." Then Emrick added with a typical tweak, "Plus I've now accumulated enough frequent flyer miles to not go anywhere." On a personal off-air basis, writes Mushnick, Emrick is the ultimate mensch, a deacon in the Methodist Church. His gentle sense of humor and unyielding patience and respect for all creates envy for a life well-lived and with plenty to give. Damn it, man. Gonna miss him. And then there's guys like Dick Stockton who are still hacking through games poorly at about the same age. Emrick was able to narrate his own farewell video, which normally you would think would be an exercise in self-aggrandizement and something that would be extremely hard to take. Of course it's not.
Of course it's wonderful. The 5 minutes and 15 seconds are pure gold and have some amazing highlights. Here's a quick sampler.
I don't know about you, but I still get chills seeing the Stanley Cup. And knowing how professionals paid well during the season, forget everything, and raise pain thresholds above broken jaws, black eyes, stitches, and a lot we can't see to win a title and get the name their parents gave them engraved on this trophy. Oh, sure, things change over the 50 years. When I arrived, helmets were optional and then required of new players. Visors were optional and then required of new players. We went from one referee to two. Goal judges once sat in chairs behind the net. Now video replay helps make those calls.
We have a goal on the ice.
But much of what I love, perhaps what you love, is unchanged from then to now and into the years ahead. I love that coaches still yell and arguments can happen. I love that goalies can occasionally still score goals. That sentiment can't enter even into what number a player wears or gives up. That banners, like jerseys, aren't just cloth. They represent sacrifice. I love that when fans pay the price of admission, in addition to the game, they can get to see kids get a lifetime memory. Get to see one of their number experience joy. Or get to be in on a surprise reunion of someone serving the country.
I mean, it's just great stuff. And you watch it. And I know for one, I say, we can't get people packed into stadiums again soon enough. I'm sorry. That has to happen. Enjoy your retirement, Doc Emrick. My God, you will be missed. Doing a hard pivot, Dwayne Haskins' Instagram account just got interesting this afternoon. I'll read you this, and maybe you can say, ah, you're making too much of it. But then again, he did take the post down. Got this tip from a listener who said, Zabe, listen, I know you wanted to see 16 out of 16 with Haskins. I know you wanted a full year to evaluate, but I'm telling you, he was benched for reasons not football related. They're about being a professional. It's about earning, not being given something. It's certainly got to do with his attitude, preparation, and leadership. And then this listener showed me an Instagram post from DH underscore Simba 7, the official account of one Dwayne Haskins. It's a simple black square with white letters on it, white writing that reads as follows. Quote, if I bring up an issue I have with you, that is not your time to bring up any grievances you have with me. You had time and opportunity just like me, but you chose not to. Now is your time to listen, not deflect. He also added on Instagram, at Justin L.A. Boy. I don't know who that is. I don't know what kind of beef they've got. I don't know anything other than he deleted it and or removed it right away, almost. But not soon enough that people didn't grab it and go, what the? That, to me, comes off as extremely condescending. And all I can think about is, bro, your career in the sport you love, that you're very talented at, is hanging in the balance. You should not spend any brain cycles worrying about childish things like your Instagram account. Give the password over to your manager. Tell him or her to change it. Don't let them give it back to you. Take it off your phone. Worry about football. Any little thing like this can be very detrimental to your career. It just is such a bad look. And yet the addiction to be right on social media, like a moth to a flame, it continues for this generation. Good luck. Hope it works.
Hey, Zabe here from MyBookie, the official sports book of the Zabecast. Real payouts, real customer service, absolutely rock solid place to get your sweet action on when it comes to sports. What a glorious time we're in right now. NFL is going, College football's going, about to add in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Baseball playoffs are here every single night. There is no shortage of games to watch or bet on, and you need to get on with MyBookie. Whatever it is you like to bet, lay low and then wham, hit them with a big right hook of a bet, or maybe just dabble or have a little bit here, a little bit there. Do it from your phone. It's so convenient. Play some parlays, underdog parlays. Make meaningless games meaningful for you by putting a little something-something on it. And go to MyBookie.com to do it. When you sign up, use the promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start in your winning season. Read the rules and regulations so you understand how the bonus payout works, and you're on your way. Promo code ZABE to claim that bonus when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, the Masters coming up, presidential prop bets. Oh, it is sweet action all over the place. MyBookie.com, the official and reputable and rock-solid sports book of this, the ZABEcast.
Works out. Couple things real quick, then we'll get to the Houston Hammer. Email from Brett, or a tweet from Brett Williams, listener. He said, great pod this morning. For what it's worth, the coaches have, quote, pet quarterbacks with the Wooft and the Redskins because the owner has saddled every one of the new coaches with a mediocre QB they didn't want and they did not draft. That's true.
Like I said, Danny and his first pet quarterback was Jeff George. Had to saddle Marty with him. Didn't like it. Actually, Norv didn't even want him. Spurrier's pet quarterbacks were Danny and Shane from Florida. Yep. They're good quarterbacks. And Spurrier did not care for Patrick Ramsey, who the owner drafted after going to senior day with Vinny Serrato. Gibbs's pet was Brunel, and he got a backup plan in Campbell. He, too, had no use for Patrick Ramsey. Shanny brought in Rex and Beck and swore by them. And then they couldn't play. And then the owner got his new pet quarterback, McNabb from Philly. Shanny didn't like him. He was gone. Then they both said, let's get RG3. And they quickly soured of that. You had Jay Gruden, who had to try to reform and rehabilitate RG3. It did not work. And so Jay's new pet quarterback became Colt McCoy. He wasn't really thrilled with one Kirk Cousins, but he put up with it, but he really liked Colt McCoy. This kid, Kyle Allen, is a nice kid. Jimmy Tryhard, super overachiever. Guess what? He's not QB1. Anyone can tell that. But he's Rivera's pet, and that's why he's going to be around for a while. Upper Deck said they're getting back into the golf card business. Yes, the oh-so-lucrative, sarcasm, golf trading card business. One of the things they're going to do is include certain cards that have a tiny little container in the card itself, very thin, that has sand from some of the bunkers at the courses where the player on the card recorded their most important victories. That's kind of cool, I think. Nerd! But can you verify that it's actually sand from a certain course? And you know there'll be no sand from Augusta National. In fact, it'd be so white it would blind your eyes if we put it into a trading card, some sort of meaningless trinket like that. We've sent men to jail for trying to steal a fistful of sand from our vaunted bunkers here. They actually did once arrest a guy who tried to steal some sand from the bunker. And Atari is getting back in the console biz. They released today what looks like a revamp of the old classic Atari 2600. Same shape, like a miniature Pizza Hut restaurant with the trapezoidal bump on it. And there's two controllers. One was a remake of the old Atari controller, which was just one joystick, one button. And a newfangled modern controller, which is the sort of butterfly wing, 18 different buttons, 18 different joysticks, shoulder, shoulder, trigger, trigger. Oh my God, what am I pressing? I have no idea how to use this. They say that the key of the Atari console is that it's going to allow gamers to exchange money using cryptocurrencies as part of their gaming. Okay,
you'll also be able to play a bunch of classic Atari games, most of which completely suck, and you'll play for 5 minutes, get a little hit of nostalgia, and then say, why am I playing Rodeo on Atari 2600? All right, let's talk some Houston baseball. The cheaters have gone down. How has my boy handled it? Let's find out. I don't know if I've heard this song before. It's called Glory by The Score. Pretty popular, 21 million views. I play it because when I call my Astro buddy, Scott Shirey, in the wake of his gut-wrenching Game 7 loss to talk to him on the podcast, and he requests an intro music song, I say simply, I'll allow it. How'd you get onto this this song as your walk-up music there, Mr. Shirey?
This was in 2019 when they did the hype videos on YouTube. The Astros did two sets, and both of them were by this band called The Score. And one of them, this is one of them, Glory, which I absolutely love. There's another one that they did that's really good, too, but it's got some great hops to it. They're good stuff, man.
This sounds like a good bed for highlights of, which... There would have been a lot of good highlights if the Astros could have just won one more game. The H-Town Hammer joining us here on the Zabecast today. Former sports director for Channel 8 KEIT in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and a Pig Suey grad of 95, currently working in medical sales, but living his best life in Houston. Scotty, how you doing, bud?
I'm fantastic. How are you, sir?
Are you okay in the wake of, I mean, look, you have come up short with your team. You had the glory a couple years ago. You've endured all the shit from the scandal and the cheating, and you fired back on everybody who wants to come at you on Twitter. But in terms of disappointments as a hardcore Astro fan, how did this one go down?
This is not that bad, truthfully. I said it to our mutual buddies. I said, look, this was house money. We weren't supposed to be here. We truthfully, and I think you said it yesterday, you said the best, we really shouldn't have been in the playoffs. It was a very odd set of circumstances. We're all playing with weird stuff. I think Dusty knew, and I'm just speculating, I think Dusty knew with six guys that were rookies in the bullpen and then losing Verlander right out of the gate, this season was going to pretty much be, let's see what we've got going into next year. And truthfully, getting in the way we did, we lost 15, when we lost our closer, that was huge in so much that we lost 15 games by blown saves this year. Do and you know how many games it took us to get in 2019 to blow 15 saves in 2019? We didn't.
We didn't.
Less than five saves were blown in all of 2019 with that many games. We blew 15 in this shortened season. So, you know, this was a let's just see what we can do with the season. And this was a lot of fun to watch despite the outcome. We had a blast watching this.
15 games over 60. Let's see, times two, that's 120. Not quite a third. It'd be 30, 45. That'd be a lot of games you blew. If it was a full 162, let's just leave it at that and not try to do any further math. I
did
kind of sprain something there. Also, Altuve did not hit during the regular season, and some people took extreme delight in that. Why do you think Altuve did not hit this year?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I think the lack of fans really affected this whole team. This team since day one has always been, and cheating is what it is. That's, we can walk down that pathway or not. This team feeds off of this city. I wish I could explain it to people better, but I just can't. Next week is my 20-year anniversary of moving to Houston, Texas. It's the longest place I've ever lived anywhere. And this city has a vibe about it that's always been here. And this ball club is connected to its people. This year, with everything going on in a city that, you know, politics aside, is what it is, it's disconnected. That team and this city were disconnected by force and by the virus. It affected everybody. I think it really affected Altuve a lot. I think throwing these guys out of rhythm they didn't respond well early on. What was really most impressive to me was we get into the postseason and he's an entirely different ball player. It was really a lot of fun to watch him. I mean, I think I didn't see the last numbers. He was batting close to 400. His power numbers were better than they were in 2019 on a percentage-wise. It was really, really a lot of fun to watch him step into it. But the guy to me that had his coming out party in more ways than one was Carlos Correa. Really, really interesting to see how that guy stepped into a new role. I think he knows what's coming next year with a lot of these guys going up for free agency, and he's going to have to be the one that's, not to piss off all the Yankees fans, which inevitably I will anyway. He's the captain now.
I'm the captain. Look at me. Correa embraced the, okay, fine, make your jokes, you know, shoot your shot, but I'm going to fly the Black Pirate flag. And he's embraced that heel turn. Yes, you've become the pirate ship. And he has been the captain of it, which makes sense because there's no appeasing any of the critics. There's no easy rebuttal to those who said, but look what you did. So you might as well own it and wear it. And Correa's done that. And it's more than just owning it and wearing it. You have to then perform while you're owning it. And he was able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Twitter call was on Twitter was the Spanish call of his walk-off home run. If I could make that a ringtone that everybody else could hear when I call them, I would do that. I don't know if you guys have that in D.C. because of the Latino population. I don't know what the makeup is there at the DMV if you guys have a Spanish call. But if you ever get a chance to listen to the excitement of a Spanish-called baseball game when it's a really important game, I mean, our guys here at Houston do an amazing job on the radio. I think they're highly underrated. But, wow, what a neat way to call that home run.
Here it is right here. Take a listen.
La pelota en dirección hacia territorio del jardín central. Carlos Correa, Duque, a lo profundo.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No.
Díganle que no es a pelota.
A pelota, ball, I heard that.
Pelota. Un viejo coach en Cuba.
It basically translates to that ball is gone, that ball is far. And I'm butchering it, obviously, because my Spanish is absolutely atrocious. But, I would love to have that, like I said, as my ringtone. If I ever do get to play golf well again, which I might someday, and I come off the tee with a Scotty bomb, I'm not saying that's not going to be what's played.
No. Pelota, go far. And I'm going to say, if I'm standing there and it's in the trap. But congratulations.
You're not wrong.
All right. So the big Magilla now is Springer. Springer will be purchasable. And from what I've gathered from you and others that I follow from the Houston market, losing him would hurt like a fastball to the solar plexus.
I will tell you, so to me, I moved to Houston 20 years ago. I don't feel comfortable, sort of like you with the Packers. You don't really feel comfortable being able to just be launched into being a fan right out of the gate. You feel like you got to earn that a little bit. I moved here. The Astros were performing exceptionally well. They ended up going to the World Series. I never felt connected. Everything starts to kind of fall apart. They've overpaid everybody. Everything sort of transitions. They get Altuve, who's kind of, you don't really know what you've got with this guy coming in. The first time I saw George Springer over that right field wall, his rookie year, he leapt over this wall to snag a fly ball. I said, okay, this guy may make me really love baseball again. See, I didn't really love baseball, even though I was covering it. I didn't love it after what happened in the strike in the 90s. It really kind of messed up my flavor for baseball. Watching George do that was amazing. And then watch the way he would swing at the ball. I mean, he would just swing out of his shoes. It became fun. I love watching him play ball. So to me, George Springer was Astros baseball. And then to have what happened in 2017 with his just stellar postseason performance, the same again last year in 2019, if we lose him, it will leave a very big hole, not just from a X's and O's stand from baseball-wise, a huge hole in what we consider to be our boys.
So just pay him.
There's no cap in baseball. Just pay him. What's the hard decision?
I don't know that there is one. Mr. Crane doesn't like to lose. The big difference between our owner that we have now and McClain, who had the team previously, is the man couldn't find his checkbook for a steak, much less a ball player. Mr. Crane doesn't like to lose. And I'll also tell you this much. I actually got a chance to visit with him. He actually spoke at an event last year, and he talked a little bit about kind of – and it was more about the Houston Open stuff, which we'll talk about here in a little bit – talking about him basically taking that over and really resetting that tournament here in Houston. He talked an awful lot about hating losing and doing what needed to be done to win, but he's not just going to throw good money after bad. Signing Brantley was a brilliant move 2 years ago. That he replaced Marwin Gonzalez, who was really the heart and soul of the team as well. When we lost him, there was this, what do we do now? Who is Brantley? We know he's got a good history. He's been an all-star, but really, really fit in. And he and Springer just connected immediately. Hell, they bought houses right next to each other. I kid you not. So they were going to be very close. So the team got sort of rallied around that. Mr. Crane knows what he's doing. I absolutely believe he'll know what he's doing. I think we're either going to re-sign Brantley or we'll sign Springer. I don't think we do both. I don't know how they're going to play that off. I'd love to see it happen.
Mets are coming for Springer, apparently, and they've got a new owner with a billion dollars behind him in Steve Cohen. So that will be hard to resist, but man, I would not jump into the Mets. I don't care. New owner, anything. That to me is like a haunted house of franchises, just like the Jets are a haunted house, like the Browns are a haunted house, like the Redskins. I'm sorry, woofed. Haunted houses, no matter how much money, don't go in there.
Yeah. I will tell you this, and it's, I mean, his family is from Connecticut. His lovely bride is from the New York area as well.
Oh, who cares?
They have a house up there. So I don't know how, you know, again, you and I are of the mind of we would like to win.
Yeah.
That's how we think. But I ain't a ball player, and I don't know what these guys have lined up. Like I said, his wife, Charlize, actually was my personal trainer right before the pandemic. She does personal training and got me into a lot better shape. So I
humble brag.
It's not a humble brag. She's available anywhere here in Houston, if you say. But,
I'm just kidding.
I mean, she's amazing. No, she's amazing. But we'll see. I mean, like I said, it all boils down to whether or not Mr. Crane can strike the right balance and whether or not George wants to stay. But like I said, with the six rookies that they had in the bullpen with all of the different pieces, this was supposed to be a throwaway, we'll figure it out year. And then when you throw the pandemic into the mix and you throw in the fact that Verlander is pretty much, barring any kind of miracle, done as an Astro because of the Tommy John, a lot of variables. To go to one game away from the World Series, and truthfully, had Altuve not made a couple of errors or Josh James not completely blown an inning, we're looking at a really, really interesting World Series with a Dodgers-Astros rematch. Instead, we get a decent World Series. The Rays are impressive to me, but I'm partial.
Yeah. All right, so let's say you do sign Springer. You get Hinch back next year. And
no, Dusty. We got Dusty. Dusty's with us for another year.
Oh, he is? Yeah, oh, that's right.
They signed him at the beginning of the year. They signed him to a one-year deal, and it wasn't maybe 2 months, and they signed him to an extension. And I think that's a great idea. Dusty already had my respect.
Everybody loves Dusty. Everybody loves Dusty. I'm warning you. He'll break your heart when the chips are on the line.
You know what, Steve? I'm going to argue with you on that because he had every opportunity to lose two series in this postseason, both with the A's and with the Rays. There were multiple opportunities where he had to make a decision one way or the other, and if it had gone the other direction, he would have been absolutely a goat in the situation. And how he handled Greinke when it looked like everything was getting sideways, and he left Greinke in there for one more batter.
But Mr. X would say, the best hitters in the game only hit 300, so any move you make like that has a 70% chance of working out and making you look like some tough guy, bad guy genius.
Unless it's Randy Arozarena, who apparently was batting like 400, 500, 600. Who the hell knows? Oh. I'm getting
Arozarena might have an earpiece in with a trash can somewhere that we don't know about because that guy's on cheat code mode right now. That guy.
It's crazy. Well, you know what? Last year it was Soto. I mean, apparently we're everybody's coming out party in the postseason to have these spectacular new hitters just show up out of nowhere. The nice part about that is, do you know who the Rays traded with to get him?
No.
The Cardinals. the very team that cheated themselves hacking into our computers.
That's right.
When we stole their, when we stole one of their top guys. So that gives me a little bit of pleasure.
All right. So, let's yes, pivot to the Houston Open, which is going to allow 2,000 whole fans to roam around on 100 acres of open space. And I say, Scotty, thank fucking God it's taken way too long for golf to start pushing for this. But you tell me that it's a bit of a controversy down there in Houston.
It is a little bit. Behind the scenes, I think there's some said, unsaid type of stuff. Our local leaders, and I don't want to get too deep into politics because I know you've already probably run off most of the people that lean a little more left than you or I.
I don't give a shit if they're gone. It doesn't matter. Speak your truth.
Our city leaders have made a lot of really interesting decisions and have taken a lot of bad advice, I think, from other parts of the country. And truth be told, this decision should have been made weeks ago about letting these fans. And we had fans coming into Texans games. We haven't had a quote-unquote super spreader event in that regard. I've been out working, you know, throughout this entire pandemic. And we can talk a little bit about that if you'd like. I've been out working the entire time except for the first month of all this. Houston's been open, and I'm using air quotes because everybody's getting out. We had our big bump like everybody else did in July. We had the mask mandate. We still had everything pop up. Then everything died down. Now we're below 5% on testing, and I think Harris County, which incorporates Houston as a whole, has one of the highest testing rates of any county in the country, and we're below 5%.
Right.
It makes no sense why we can't have more fans at this event. As you said, it's outdoors. It's at Memorial Park. It's in the heart of Houston. We absolutely need something like this in this city right now. If nothing else, to get us all together to say, hey, how you doing? Glad to be out here.
Right.
So
we have to try. We have to stand up and march. So the political leaders down there are like frumpy about it. But you say, what's his name runs the show with that tournament?
Well, Jim Crane took the tournament over from the Houston Golf Association when it was kind of sort of, you know, wavering, and the PGA had sort of threatened to sort of take it away completely. And Mr. Crane steps in.
He's got the juice to do it.
Yeah, we lost our sponsor, which was Shell. Shell went another direction, didn't sponsor it anymore. So we had no sponsor. So if you had no sponsor, you got no tournament. Mr. Crane steps in and says, we'll let the Astros Foundation, we'll make it literally the first PGA tournament that is sponsored by a nonprofit organization, turn it into an entire fundraising situation. A really neat thing that he did. And then he's gone out, and his entire foundation has worked to generate revenue for not just the foundation, but to get the tournament going and sort of pump that into it. He's done a great job, and he brought in Brooks Koepka to actually go into that golf course. It's a public golf course, Steve. Public golf course, not private. Public golf course. Redo it. It's in great shape. It looks really, really beautiful. I've played it. I didn't break 90, but that's not really the point. But it's ready for us to be there, and I'm so grateful that if I'm not mistaken, it's the first PGA tournament in the United States that it's allowing fans to come to, and I'm thrilled about that.
I think there were some senior tour events that allowed limited numbers, I think, in Indiana, but I may be wrong about that.
You're correct. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It was a senior event there. But this also segues into the major that the LPGA is playing in mid-December that's been rescheduled, that's playing up in the suburbs, up in the Woodlands. I believe that's Champions Forest is actually hosting that. I want to know now, are we going to have fans at that major? Because I want to be there day one.
Yeah. Well, my golf friends don't understand when I say I could care less about this fake-ass Masters coming in a couple weeks, because I relied on and hoped that the Green Jackets would be the ones that could help lead us out of this COVID cult we're in and say, of course we're going to have some patrons at the tournament, but we are the Masters and we have mitigation and other things that we can employ, and we are in the state of Georgia, which is fairly open right now with the right kind of leadership. And instead they just go no. They decided no on this months ago. Yep. And that has broken me. It has hurt me so bad. I'm like, well, fine. You're going to have a tournament. They're going to play the trinkly music. There's going to be a from in the woods. Somebody's going to win money, and you want me to be into it? No. The Masters is a celebration of life. You guys have chosen to be cowards about it, and I guess collect your TV money. I'm just done with it. So that's my stance on the Masters.
Do you need a minute? Because that's a fairly impassioned take, and you're not entirely wrong. It is my favorite tournament. I don't know many people that it's not their most favorite tournament. I can't envision that tournament not being played with a soundtrack. And that to me, and I've never been there, you've been, the soundtrack of the Masters to me.
It's all about the roars. It's all about the patrons. Any of these fake tough guys who say, I don't miss the fans at all, I don't need the fans, fuck you, you're lying and you know it. The fans are crucial to big golf tournaments like they are to any big sporting event, and even more so at the Masters, where the echoes of roars from down at Amen Corner wash up and over the entire course as everyone goes, ooh, what was that? Who was that? What's going on? Mm-hmm. Will I watch the Masters? Yes. Will I bet on it? Probably. Will I like it? No. No, I will not like it. I'm firm in my belief in that. Okay. Lastly, on the coronavirus situation and other numbers. Couple things that are interesting, and you know this, you are in the medical sales field, and so you're in hospitals every day as part of your job. Helping people get their tickers fixed, and that's a very good thing. Number one, all-cause mortality in the U.S. for 2020 looks like it's going to come in right on even par with previous years. That's number one. Number two, there is a growing pile of non-COVID excess deaths since February that is puzzling officials, although some say, oh, I'm not puzzled by it. These are essentially lockdown deaths, things that were side effects of what we did to try to avoid the coronavirus. The third thing that's pretty unbelievable is apparently flu numbers have dropped off a cliff this year.
Yeah.
And people are like, what's going on with that? Now, you being in your business and seeing what you see and knowing what you know, tell me what you have seen so far that has raised smart people's eyebrows.
Well, the thing that you quote data to me or don't waste my time, because anecdotal data
is data.
Data is data, and data can be twisted and torqued. But however, the thing that you're keying in on, I'm going to read you something here. This is from the Journal of American Medicine, which I understand is peer-reviewed. Yes, it, of course, it's peer-reviewed, so it actually should be.
Journal of American Medicine, JAMA, is pretty well-respected by everybody. Exactly. Okay, here's what they say.
September 15th, okay, this is a direct quote, between March 1st, 2020, and April 25th, 2020. So that would have been the early stages, just the early stages of COVID. A total of 505,000 deaths were reported in the U.S. Of those 500,000 deaths plus, excess deaths, 65% were attributed to COVID-19. In 14 states, more than 50% of excess deaths were attributed to underlying causes other than COVID, those including California and Texas. Now, in bold, bold print, which is usually what they try to make you pay attention when you're reading a study and actually put something in bold print, the five states with the most COVID-19 deaths experienced large proportional increases in deaths due to non-respiratory underlying causes, including diabetes at a 96% increase, heart diseases at 89%, Alzheimer's at 64%, and cerebrovascular diseases, that's stroke, 35%. New York City experienced the largest increase in non-respiratory deaths, notably those due to heart disease and diabetes at 398% increases and 356% increases, respectively.
So what does that mean?
What that translates meaning is that people did not go to see their doctor when they weren't feeling well, and as a result, they get too far gone beyond where you can actually treat what the underlying cause is.
Because of COVID, because of restrictions. In the first month, you couldn't go to a hospital, period. If you you could, I guess, if you were taken to the ER with a heart attack, but if you just needed actual care for either your heart condition or your diabetes, you were staying home and people were dying. And so 300% increase, all the lives we were trying to save from COVID, we're just swapping them out for other lives. And I'm not even counting the suicides or the deaths. Apparently dementia related deaths are also way up because, shocker, keeping people with advanced dementia away from their loved ones has a very bad effect on their overall health and vigor. Shocker.
Correct. Yeah, it's and the last line of that what I just was reading you there is, these estimates suggest that the number of COVID-19 deaths reported in the first weeks of the pandemic captured only 2/3 of excess deaths in the U.S., which means that the other percentage were directly related to the lockdowns.
And
that's the bottom line with all of this.
And you know what? All of this should be widely reported on and vigorously debated and discussed, and yet it's either being ignored by the mainstream media, and worse, doctors and researchers who bring this stuff up are being censored or being uninvited from conferences because it's
Correct.
Not fitting the narrative. It's like we Correct. Are in a digital medieval world in which heretics are shunned. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there we are.
We're in unique times no matter what. You know, like I said, people have their takes on this, and I'm not going to get into the political elements of it, but I think it's pretty obvious that a lot of the decisions being made on both sides of the fence, mind you, are political in nature.
But the
truth of the matter is, my bread and butter, the people that I work with in heart valves, these are the most compromised and sensitive people with COVID-19. It's either extreme, or it's emergent, or it's urgent. And if it's urgent, they have the option of waiting. If you wait too long, bad things happen. It's just that simple. So,
all right.
You know,
well,
that's where we're at. So,
at least we discussed it here.
We're rolling and we're trying, and the bottom line is we have to try.
There you go. Stand up and march. All right. That's Scotty fun. Boy,
care,
the
Bob.
Houston Hammer. Thank you, buddy. See ya.
Appreciate you, bud. It's my time.
Let's end on this. I told you I was Bryson DeChambeau neutral, if not slightly positive, because of the fact that he's doing something that is just amazing and crazy and unprecedented. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and put aside the slow play. I'm going to put aside some of the other things that make me crazy about him. And now there's this. Club Pro guy has taken Bryson to the woodshed because of what he has launched with a virtual autograph offering. Take a listen.
Let's face it, 2020 has been a difficult year. We've all been isolated to some degree, but few have been impacted more than reigning U.S. Open champion Bryson DeChambeau. In a recent heartfelt tweet, Bryson literally poured out his feelings by confessing that he's missing his fans on and off the course. The sincerity of that statement was more than enough. But Bryson didn't stop there. He continued the tweet with a call to action by announcing that he's partnered with a company called Instant Autographs, where he's giving fans the incredible opportunity to pay $18 plus shipping to get a virtual autograph from Bryson. You heard that right. Not an actual autograph, but a coveted virtual autograph. Better yet,
gets
in
better.
An effort to get you that feeling that you're almost hanging out with Bryson, Instant Autographs computer algorithm allows you to customize Bryson's greeting with 4 exciting stock options, including stay safe, keep practicing, change the rules, and my personal favorite, all the best. As a fan, this is your chance to get that connection with Bryson that you and him have been yearning for. Imagine having this hanging on your office wall or maybe above your mantle at home. When friends or coworkers come in, they'll say, "Hey, I see you got Bryson's autograph. What's he like?" And you can say, "Oh, I have no idea. I paid $20 and a computer spit that thing out for me." Staying connected in these uncertain times. Thanks for all you do, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, that to me is a bit much. Somebody convinced him it's a good idea, and they paid him a lot of money for it. And some people will buy that virtual autograph. That'll be a wrap for today. Thank you very much for downloading and being part of the Zabecast Nation. Remember, this is not a full-blown recap of everything. This is a supplement to what I do every day, sports talk radio on the air, 6 to 9 a.m. on the game.
in Milwaukee, 97.3 FM, and 3 to 6 p.m. on Team 980, 980 a.m. in the DMV. Tune in to those shows as well for even more of me, which I know you can't get enough of. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Wake me up when September ends.
Ring out the bells. Hey, Zabe here from MyBookie, the official sports book of the Zabecast. Real payouts, real customer service. Absolutely rock solid place to get your sweet action on when it comes to sports. What a glorious time we're in right now. NFL is going, college football is going, about to add in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Baseball playoffs are here every single night. There is no shortage of games to watch or bet on, and you need to get on with MyBookie. Whatever it is you like to bet, lay low and then wham, hit them with a big right hook of a bet, or maybe just dabble or have a little bit here, a little bit there. Do it from your phone. It's so convenient. Play some parlays, underdog parlays. Make meaningless games meaningful for you by putting a little something-something on it. And go to mybookie.com to do it. When you sign up, use the promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start in your winning season. Read the rules and regulations so you understand how the bonus payout works, and you're on your way. Promo code ZABE to claim that bonus when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, the Masters coming up, presidential prop bets. Oh, it is sweet action all over the place. MyBookie.com, the official and reputable and rock-solid sports book of this, the Zabecast.